Do a little politicking?
I'll test your place, you impudent son bitch. You don't tell your pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yes. That's a powerful new force.
Bring it in, Junior.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back here to the full story on WYAB 103.9. And it is finally here. It is finally here, the day that has been coming. It seems like we've been running this election for a while, actually. But it has finally got here, the day of the election. It's been a long road to get here. It's almost kind of surreal that we're finally here on this day. It's pretty much been a campaign for 2 years, and it's got to this point. Now, we have a lot of coverage that's been coming up here on WYAB. Of course, we'll have election night coverage with Clay Edwards starting at 6 tonight. He'll be going, I think they'll going to at least midnight. And then tomorrow morning, we will be back here on the air at 6 a.m., and we'll be doing a joint show with Clay for 3, possibly 4 hours as we go through the results. Now, we're probably not going to have a result tonight in the 2020 election. I think it took 4 days to finally come to a decision. Of course, there was also during COVID, and there's other things going on there. But in today's close environment, the odds of us having a result by tonight, especially since what I've said is Pennsylvania being the deciding factor of this election, and they having they had less mail-in ballots than others, or less early voting than others. So it's going to be more of a count for Pennsylvania, and so it's going to maybe take more than one day to find out. Maybe not. If it's a slam dunk win for one or the other, maybe not. But if it's going to be close, it's going to take a while to count them. And, you know, I'm going into this election hoping that the system works. I hope there's not widespread fraud, problems with voting machines. We have to have some kind of faith in the system, or else the whole system collapses. And so I'm willing to give it another shot. I'm willing to put the faith in it one more time to see how it plays out. You know, I was losing faith for a while until Donald Trump won the first time, which surprised me. I was here at WYAB with then James Tolpe at the time, who took over the full story after I left. To join the military for a few years. And me and him were on election night in 2016, and I was blown away when Trump won for the first time, as we knew that night. As you know, it was unlike the last election. We knew that night that he had won, and it was something we were hoping for, but still a surprise, because you know I didn't know if voting was still honest. And so and then of course 2020 happened, and various issues with that election has been uncovered, but we're in a new era. This is not 2020. This is a completely different time frame, a completely different atmosphere, and the candidates. The candidates are finally wrapping up, and Donald Trump, after nearly 2 years after launching his campaign to return the White House, President Trump's bid to win back his old job is now in the hands of American voters as Election Day 2024 has arrived. Facing off against the presidential nominee is Vice President Kamala Harris, who just 3.5 months ago replaced her boss, President Biden, atop the Democrats' national ticket. With roughly 75 million ballots already cast across the country in early voting, an in-person day of voting now getting underway, both major party nominees are optimistic about their chances in this historic showdown. And there's no doubt that this is, no matter which side you are for, no matter who you're voting for, we can all agree that this is a pivotal election and is definitely one of historic magnitude that we haven't seen in a long time. I like to say, not until probably Abraham Lincoln, that election in 1860. And the stakes are just as high. If you remember, with the vote and the election of Abraham Lincoln, the Democrats could not accept him as president. They could not accept the fact that a party founded on freedom, could win, and therefore it broke up the country. But Abraham Lincoln was a great leader. It was a tough thing for him to see and to fight through the Civil War and to have a war amongst his own people, but he never thought that the Southerners were not Americans. It was always his idea that they had a rebellious group, but at the end of the day, they were still Americans, and it was always his goal to reunify the country. And the Democrats couldn't have that either, so they killed him. They couldn't have that reunification that Abraham Lincoln had so much pushed for through a bloody, bloody Civil War. And that's been the Democrats' whole thing ever since. They've always promoted division. They've promoted party politics. They've promoted identity politics. And they have promoted slavery, whether it's slavery to a actual slave owner in the case of the Civil War, or slavery to the government as they are now. That has always been their ultimate goal, and the Republicans have tried to fight it. The Republicans have lost their way in several, especially in the last 20 years and some of that. But they finally had a candidate, Donald Trump, who wasn't afraid to buck that system, who wasn't afraid to stand up for people. Unlike almost every other politician, he is not someone who could be bought out because he was already independently wealthy. There was no other reason to buy him out. And he had to fight his own party. He's had to fight the Democratic Party. And he's even had to fight an assassin, not unlike Abraham Lincoln himself. And this is why this election is so pivotal. Just like it was in 1860, our country has to make a choice of whether we continue on with the status quo of identity politics and the current division, the divide and conquer, or can we come back together? If it's even possible with Donald Trump, I can't say that Donald Trump can bring people together. I wish I could say that, but the division is becoming more and more and more. But I do know that if there's any chance of it, a good economy, a safe borders is the thing to do it, if anything else. Now, they're always going to have people just like you had in 1860 who refused to accept Donald Trump, and that's fine. But the thing is, can we have the majority of Americans do it and work towards a common good, to work towards a better country? So, again, 75 million ballots have already been cast across the country in early voting. That's probably more than half of the votes. I would say, you know, we have 300 million people in this country, and everybody can vote. So the fact that there's 75 million already cast, that's probably over half, have already voted. So there could be a situation where this election's already decided and we don't even know it yet. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Harris and Trump were both campaigning in Pennsylvania. But they each ended in different parts of the country. Harris ended on the steps of Art Museum in Philadelphia, and this is her closing remarks and her final rally.
Members, friends, classmates, neighbors, coworkers, knowing and reminding them that we all have so much more in common than what separates us. And let us please remind everyone that your vote is your voice, and your voice is your power. So tonight I ask you one last time, are you ready to make your voices heard? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? And are we ready to fight for it? And when we fight, we win. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Okay, so there's her last speech. her last rally in there in Philadelphia. Of course, a lot of the same buzzwords that she's always used, although there's been no plan put out for any of those things about opportunity. There's been talk about increasing taxes. There's been talk of giving free money out illegally. But no actual plan to how to build the economy and how to take it to the next level. But that's her closing remarks. She also, in a rally in Pennsylvania, she said, "Make no mistake, we will win." Trump, also campaigning in battleground Pennsylvania, told supporters, "We've been waiting for this. I've been waiting 4 years for this." The former president has touted that we have a big lead. We have a big lead. And again, like I said, Trump and Harris had dueling rallies on election eve in Pennsylvania, which with 19 electoral votes at stake is the biggest prize among the seven key battleground states. And again, she closed her campaign schedule there at Philadelphia by the famed Rocky Steps outside the city's art museum. And it was interesting with her speech because for a second straight day, she avoided mentioning Trump by name and tried to close with a positive message. And this is something, this is a pivot that I said that she should make, that I'm sure her also political consultant said she should do as well, because she just kept on and on and on about Donald Trump and talking bad about him, all this other stuff. And people get tired of that after a while. They're like, we don't want complaining. We want solutions. And I think that's her pivot. I think the pivot was too late. I think that should have been a pivot she made, you know, at least 2 weeks ago, if not a month ago. But again, she's only been running for 3 months, so she hasn't had a whole lot of time to make pivots in her campaign. But obviously, they had talked to her about that. Say, hey, we can't just rail on Donald Trump all the time. People get it, right? If they're at your rally, they already know that. People are looking for solutions, and they didn't provide that either. They just provided positive messaging. We're going to need more than just positive vibes to get us out of what we currently in. Positive vibes will not put food on the table. Positive vibes will not keep migrants off, illegal migrants out of the border. They will not prevent those illegal migrants from killing innocent people. Positive vibes will not help us in our rising inflation. It will not help us in our the growing instability of the war of the world. Positive vibes just is not policy. What people need is policy, and then the positive vibes that come from said policy that could bring this country forward. Or no policy, right? I'm not saying you have to have policy. You can have, hey, we're going to take away certain restrictions. We're going to take away certain laws to open up the opportunity. But she just says we're going to have opportunity. Trust me, it's going to be opportunity. That's been a common theme throughout her campaign. But that was her closing remarks. Like I said, trying to take off not mentioning Trump, which I think is a good move. I think it may be too little, too late. However, as far as trying to move that. That how she was focusing her campaign. Now, around the same time that Harris was in Philadelphia, Trump held his final rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the same spot where he closed out his 2016 and 2020 campaigns. And here's his last few remarks at that rally.
He likes me more than he likes Kamala. I'm convinced. For the past 9 years, we have been fighting against the most sinister and corrupt forces on earth. With your vote in this election, you can show them once and for all that this nation does not belong to them. This nation belongs to you. It was the hardworking patriots like you who built this country. And tomorrow, it is the hardworking patriots, meaning today, like you, who are going to save our country. After all we've been through, and we've been through a lot together. We've gone through these rallies. Almost everybody is here. I have people that have been to more than 300 rallies. They're here tonight. They were at the one this morning, the one tonight. They actually missed two of them. I can't even believe it. But these are incredible people and incredible patriots. But we stand on the verge of the four greatest years in American history. With your help, we will restore America's promise and we will take back the nation that we love. We love this nation. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down, and we will never, ever surrender. Together, we will fight, 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 and we will win, win, win. November 5th, today, will be the most important day in the history of our country. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America healthy again. Bobby Kennedy Jr. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. I love you. I love you all. God bless you. God bless you, Michigan. God bless the United States of America. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Great honor. Thank you.
All right, so you heard it there. Fight, fight, fight. Win, win, win. And there's been no doubt that Trump has been through a lot in this campaign. From the taking of his very own life, which we talked about, or the attempted taking of his life, I should say, which it unfortunately ended in the taking of an innocent life. And that's from that time is when he came with fight, fight, fight. And that's what it really boils down to today is, will America fight back for its country? We have to take our first break right here. When we get back, we're going to cover the polls, the last polls that we'll cover on the election, and all the seven key battleground states. If you want to call in during the break, number 601-879-0002. But keep it tuned to the full story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the full story on WYAB 103.9 as we continue on this election day 2024. So Pennsylvania, Michigan, along with Wisconsin, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada are the seven swing states whose razor-thin margins decided President Biden's 2020 victory over Trump and will likely determine whether Trump or Harris wins the election this year. And it's also very interesting to me, before we get into these states, of the changing of swing states over the last 20 years. You know, we used to think of places like Ohio, Florida, Colorado, states like that that used to be swing states that are no longer swing states, and we would never have considered Pennsylvania and Michigan. Those were what we call part of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, what they like to call the blue wall states. I'm sure you've heard of that a lot because they've always voted Democrat until Donald Trump came in. But similarly, Georgia has always voted Republican, and with the exception of, I think, 1992 was the last time with Bill Clinton, who was a Southerner, alleged Southerner, that they last voted Democrat. So, I mean, last voted for a Democrat, yes. And so that was a big flip for the Democrats' last election. I think there were some interesting things going on in Georgia, but that's neither here nor there. But they obviously flipped two Senate seats last time, which was a huge, huge gain for the Democratic Party. And that's something not to discount with the presidential election. While important, I always say the more important one is who controls the Senate. Because who controls the Senate controls political nominations all up and down the spectrum. Of course, the big ones that we all hear about is the Supreme Court. But it goes down to all federal judges. You think about U.S. attorneys, all of the stuff that can affect lives is done at that level. The appellate judges, all of these, all members of the cabinet are technically have to be confirmed by the Senate. So these are all important positions that if you can't have the presidency, at least have the Senate so you can at least control that. If someone has the presidency and the Senate, they can put whoever they want in those positions, especially since they've gotten rid of the filibuster in a lot of ways in a lot of different votes. So it's a very scary situation if one of the two, or again, you know, you saw that when Donald Trump was elected the first time, when President Obama tried to put Merrick Garland in as a Supreme Court justice. And because the Republicans controlled the Senate, they were able to hold off on that. And I'm very glad we did. Can you imagine Merrick Garland, who's currently the Attorney General on the Supreme Court? That would not have been a good day. But instead, with Donald Trump, we got a lot of good ones. We had Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, some really good justices on there instead. But Harris, Trump, and their running mates and top surrogates have fanned out across the seven battle states the past couple of months, and the two presidential campaigns and allied super PACs have spent nearly all of the $2.3 billion, that's billion with a B, they've shelled out to run ads in the White House race in these battleground states. That's just crazy how much money is involved in these elections, and that's another story for another day that we can talk about probably for a whole hour on election finance reform, because, I mean, what if that money was put into the economy? Just imagine that. And as I said, for Trump, the 2024 campaign has been a grueling two-year marathon. He announced his candidacy at South Florida Mar-a-Lago Club just after the 2022 midterms elections. He easily dispatched a field of GOP primary opponents, which last year briefly expanded to over a dozen contenders, and ran the table earlier this year with the presidential in the presidential primary, Republican presidential primaries, something that Kamala Harris never had to do. Trump was indicted in four different criminal cases by the Democrats, and saw his support surge as a result of that, and his fundraising also soar. And he made history when they. He didn't make history. I'd like to say the Democrats made history when they convicted him and doing everything they possibly can to keep him out of the White House. And that is why this is a no fail mission for the Democrats. They cannot lose this election. If they do lose this election, if Donald Trump becomes president, you're going to start seeing a bunch of fires in Washington, D.C., and that's going to be all of them burning documents or computers. I guess they don't have very many documents anymore. At least I'm guessing. I don't know. They're going to be either burning computers or burning documents. You're going to see all kind of fires in Washington, D.C., very similar to after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. There was a huge fire at the Japanese embassy in Washington, D.C., where they're burning all their documents because they knew they were about to be raided. The same thing is going to happen in D.C., is that there's going to be a mass bonfire of documents and computers and flash drives and CDs or whatever they use to store this information, and probably people moving out of the country and very quickly because of everything that was going on in this and over there to try to prevent Donald Trump. And it's just crazy to think about. I mean, it really is. Like I said, it's hard to believe that this is the final day, but when you start to think about everything that has gone on in this election and how they have tried to stop Donald Trump along the way, yet he keeps coming back. It's like he's bulletproof, literally, right? I mean, they can't convict him. They can't kill him. They have tried to do everything in their power. People started to get tired of it, which is why Kamala had to change her message here at the very end. But, again, this race was instantly turned upside down, days after the debate that they had, that Donald Trump and Joe Biden had, as Biden ended his reelection bid and endorsed his vice president. Democrats quickly coalesced around Harris, and her fundraising surged as her poll numbers soared, which is interesting because, again, she never won a single primary vote. I mean, technically she did at the convention, right? They all put their votes to him, but she never actually ran in a primary. She didn't have to do any kind of work for it. And it was so surprising that the Democrats, and this to me is a positive for the Democratic Party, honestly. It's a negative for freedom of choice, but a positive for controlling your party, in that they pretty much said, this is our candidate, you're going to get behind her or else. And they did, right? They quickly coalesced around her. There was no dissension whatsoever about her being there. And again, I don't know who's running the Democratic Party. I'm very curious to know who actually runs it. But they got people in line very, very quickly. And pretty impressive, honestly. Whether you like them or not, that's pretty impressive what they are able to do and to force people to accept her, which they did. And she immediately had, you know, immediately had fundraising boosts. She had an initial boost in polling numbers. She went into a debate with Donald Trump. Her poll numbers still stood high after that debate, but they started going down about a month ago. I think a big part of that was that initial high of her wore off. And, you know, the Democrats tried to push this as late as they could, right? They couldn't do it after the convention. That would have been so much harder to do it after the convention. So they did it right before their own convention. And but that still left 3 months, essentially, to run an election. And that means people have to know who you are. So again, just running off of good vibes or negative vibes when it comes to Donald Trump, just running, hey, I have good vibes. Donald Trump is the devil. That can only take you so far before people are like, well, what are you going to do? That's great. We know that. But, you know, we know you grew up in a middle class family, or at least you say you did. We get that. But what are you going to do? And that's when things started tanking for her, as she started to not take interviews. If you can remember, she refused to take any kind of interviews until Dana Bash with CNN. I think, a month after she was there. So really only 2 months before Election Day, did she start taking interviews. And that's when things started going even further south for her. And we could see why they tried to avoid those interviews as long as they could. Because she didn't have any policy decisions. So she started taking a dip in the polls around October timeframe, when Donald Trump started gaining again, because they started to learn about Donald Trump. They started to learn about Kamala Harris, and there was not much there. We're about to take another break right here. I got into a little tangent there about this election, but I'm going to leave it with the national polling average. So the national polling average, which doesn't really matter, right? The national polling, it's interesting, right? But it doesn't matter when it comes to the election. But I thought I'd mention it. According to the current national polling average, and this is not a weighted average, I've talked about that several times on my show, but currently has Harris up 1.2 points. As of yesterday, just early in the morning. But again, that's quite a bit of difference from October 1st, where she was up 2.8 points, down now to 1.2. So again, that's that momentum shift that's happened in the last month. And I mean, it's been up to 3 points in September, so she's losing about a point a month. Again, you can see why they only did it with 3 months left. She kept losing a point a month. If this election was held next month, she would definitely lose. So they did, they did okay timing, right? They did the timing the best they could, and forcing her again, just those curveballs, all these curveballs that were being thrown by the Democratic Party. Again, I give them a lot of credit for that, because man, they're trying to keep the Republicans on their toes, and the Republicans as a whole have lost to the Democrats when it comes to political strategy time and time again, except they didn't have Donald Trump. And having Donald Trump back, that guy's, you know, he's like Teflon, right? Nothing sticks to him. They keep throwing curveballs, and he's sort of like that in baseball. And if you're a pitcher and you're trying to throw to a batter, and you keep throwing curveballs, you throw some fastballs, and you just can't get him out, right? Like, he keeps hitting the foul balls off. It's like ninth foul ball, 10th foul ball. You just can't get the guy out, right? You can't strike him out. You can't strike him out or get a ground out or a fly out or anything like that. He just keeps fouling them off. And that's been Donald Trump. He's been that frustrating force to them, and probably the only person who could have done it. Okay, we're going to take another break right here. When we get back, we'll get into polling of the battleground states. So keep it tuned here to the full story on WIAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the full story on WIAB 103.9 as we get into the final polling numbers that you're going to hear on this show, at least, for this election. We've been covering them a lot. We've talked a lot about polls. We've been gone to methodologies. We've gone into all kind of important information about polls throughout the last, at least the last month, when they really start becoming important. So let's finish it out with the seven battleground states. Hopefully we get to all seven in the time we have remaining. So let's start with the most important, the big one, the big prize, Pennsylvania. As I said at the beginning of the show, and I've been saying for weeks, who wins Pennsylvania will win the election. As goes Pennsylvania, I think goes the country. So the polling average leading all the way up to today has Harris up 0.2 points. Doesn't get more closer than that, ladies and gentlemen. Again, that is a change from a month ago when Harris was up 0.8. However, just about a week ago, Trump was up 0.4. So Harris had a little bit of a jump in the last week leading up to the election. Looking at the polling, some of the better polls, Emerson College has Trump up plus one. An Atlas Intel poll that polled 2,000 likely voters, which is a pretty large group for most of them, has Trump up plus two. The New York Times Siena College poll has them dead even. So a very, very close race. Doesn't get any closer than that in Pennsylvania. Now, one thing I wanted to mention was actually something that Clay Edwards sent me last night, was this memorandum that was tweeted by this account called the Trump War Room. I don't think that has any affiliation with Trump, but it's allegedly a confidential memorandum to the Trump campaign leadership team from Tim Sater, the grassroots targeting and chief data consultant at the RNC. He said that the Democrats are worried about the early vote numbers, and in particular, they're also looking at voter registration. And there's been a lot of new Republican registration, and a lot of the voter turnout in a lot of the battleground states has been with urban turnout down, according to this memorandum, female turnout being down as well in Pennsylvania. Again, I don't know the truthfulness of this memorandum, but it is out there. And if that's the case, of course, Donald Trump has been polling well with males and black males, but not polling well with women. So if the less women are out early voting, that could be a good thing for Trump. However, that has nothing to say about actual election day itself. All right, the next one let's talk about Michigan. So let me pull up Michigan here. So Michigan has Harris up plus 1 point. Looking at the poll, and again, that's up to today. Again, about a point lower than she was about a month ago, 0.9 points lower. The recent polls have Atlas Intel poll that had Trump up plus 2. The New York Siena Times, which ended on November 2nd, so 3 days ago, had him literally dead even in Michigan. And of course, it's where Donald Trump ended his election bid. A couple other polls have Trump up plus 2, but most of them have either Trump up plus 2, Harris up plus 1, or dead even. Doesn't get more even than that. The next one, let's go talking about blue wall states. Let's go to Wisconsin. So Wisconsin has currently Harris up plus 1 point on the average. This is, again, in comparison to about a month ago when she was up plus 1.6 points. So, again, a little bit of dip for Harris in that. Looking at the most recent polls, some of the biggest ones, the Trafalgar Group had 1,000 likely voters, had Harris up plus 1. The New York Times, Siena College, has Harris up plus 2, which is interesting for Wisconsin. Emerson College has them dead even. Next, let's move to Nevada, if we can get Nevada pulled up. And with Nevada currently has Trump on a national average, on an average of 0.3 points. Again, quite a reversal from a month ago when Harris was up plus 1. Now Trump is up plus 3. Looking at some recent polls, these are getting, it seems like the ones in Nevada are vastly different compared to the others. We have some polling that has Trump up plus 6 and plus 3. However, the New York Times Siena poll has Harris up plus two. So it is the Emerson Colleges has them dead even. So there's a large differences in these polling, which is kind of throwing it off, I think. So that's a little bit harder to tell, I think, in Nevada. In Arizona, Arizona has Trump up 2.2 points. So Trump has been gaining quite a bit in Arizona in the last month. He was up already plus 1 point back in October, and he has steadily gained that. The New York Times Siena College has Trump up plus 4 in Arizona. So that looks like it could be, unless there's a huge upset, and I'm looking at all the polls, and every single poll has Trump up in that state. Some as high as 5 points. So, I'm sorry, one has him up as 7 points. So that is a state that's going to be, unless something really goes crazy there, it looks like that will be going for Donald Trump. The next one is Georgia. Georgia has Trump up plus 8. Again, this is almost exactly where it was about a month ago. So one of the few states that didn't have a huge swing for Harris compared to a month ago, where she has lost ground. In fact, she gained a little bit of ground since November 1st. Harris went from, Trump went from plus 1.8 points up down to 0.7 points up. So almost a 1 point swing in just the last couple weeks there in Georgia. The New York Times Siena poll has them dead even. The Emerson College poll has Trump up plus 1. And most of the polling has Trump up either plus 1 or plus 2, and some have him dead even. So, again, a very, 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 very close state. And we're going to pull up North Carolina next. We get find North Carolina. All right, North Carolina has Trump up plus 1.2 on average. From a month ago, that goes from Trump being up 0.1. So almost a good 1 point swing for Donald Trump there. Looking at the polls, the interestingly enough, the Emerson College has them even. A lot of poll, we have one, the Atlas Intel, that had 1,300 people, has Trump up plus 3. However, in an interesting twist, the New York Times Siena has Harris up plus 2, which is really the only one that that is opposite of the others, is that New York Times Siena College poll, which is interesting to me, as they usually have one of the better methodologies. So a little bit of a opposite effect there with the New York Times Siena. All right, there you have it. The last polling data from the swing states. We're going to take our last break right here. When we get back, we'll do This Day in History. But keep it tuned to the full story on WYAB 103.9. Welcome back here to the full story on WYAB, ladies and gentlemen. As we get to This Day in History. And for This Day in History, I am choosing today, November 5th, 2024, Election Day. Because today is the day when all our voices come together to shape our future. Election Day is more than just casting a ballot. It's a moment to stand for our values, our communities, and the kind of world we want to leave behind. Every vote is a story, a reflection of hopes, struggles, and dreams that deserve to be heard. When we walk into that voting booth, we honor those who fought for the right to do so. We honor the sacrifices, the perseverance, and the vision that carried us here. It's our turn now to continue that journey and to write the next chapter, whatever it may be. Your vote may feel like a small drop in a vast sea, but remember, change often starts with a single voice, a single choice. Today, let's not just hope for a brighter future, let's make it a reality. Vote, and let your voice echo in the halls of history, because that is where we are standing on this day, November 5th, 2024. That's our show today, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you on the other side tomorrow morning. But until then, my name is Matthew Bishop, and you have heard the full story. Bye.